are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So God's heart beat for justice and his vision for equality is woven throughout scripture. Understanding the theological basis for racial justice can empower Christians to advocate for change with conviction and clarity. So join us as we delve into the theology of justice and explore how a deeper understanding of God's heart of how God's heart, in fact, can drive our efforts toward racial equality. And we are joined on the line once again by my elder, Elder Mkandla, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mdala, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I am good, Mdala. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
Welcome.
Indeed. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Kind and gracious Father in the heavens above, dear Lord, we seek the mind of Christ, that it may be in us. And above all, whatever is noble, whatever is honorable, whatever is Christ-like, help our minds to reflect and think on these things. Be with us now as we go into this program. Pray for the convener, pray for AWR, and the listeners as well. Bless one and all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala. We've been speaking about all things race wars, you know, what the church is meant to do, the role of us when we are fighting racial injustices. Yesterday, we touched on the issue of reconciliation, which is very, very much key. We also looked at that. And today we're looking at, you know, we want to understand God's heart, you know. Does God, as much as scripture we're reading is there, but he himself, you know, what does he say about all things pertaining to race, right? So what does the Bible say, Mdalawami, about God's concern for justice and equality?
Oh, yeah, it has a mouthful. It has a mouthful to say. But there is this minor prophet. You know, there are major and minor prophets. If we were asked to name prophets in the Bible, most of us will have a hard time picking the likes of Nahum, Obadiah, Micah. No, those are the kind of prophets that seem to have been minor in terms of their contribution.
Uh-huh.
And yet, there's a major, major message that resonates even with our time. With your permission, I read from Micah 6. I'll look at verses 1, 2, and then skip to 8 after establishing the context. Verse 1, hear you now what the Lord says. Arise, contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. So contend before the mountains. Go into a place where there is high resistance and huge obstacles. And when you get there, let your voice never, it must be heard, and it must go as far as the hills. Verse 2, hear you, O mountains. Now God speak to the mountains. The Lord's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. So Israel, come. Make sure your voice is not submerged. And then he says, I have an issue with Israel. Issue with them, and this is what I'm going to take them up on. And here is the charge. God, he has showed you, all man, what is so are failing to do that which is good. And what is this good thing? Continue. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? This is God's plea. This is God's passion. This is God's main argument in this contention. He says, you do not do justly. You are not merciful. And number three, you are not humble. So God's attitude towards injustice, inclusive of racial discrimination, he says, you should not just talk about it. You must do something about it. About justice. And if you cannot do something about justice, here's the other thing that you also want to look at. personally extend mercy, be merciful.
Yeah.
Lastly, internally, intent, be humble. So is outward action, mercy outward extended, humility inward, introspect internal. That I think if I could summarize this issue, I would say issues of racial relations, especially skewed ones, they are trapped by these three.
Yeah.
You are just, if you are racist, you're failing to be compassionate. That's where we started on Monday, like the Samaritan. And you are not humble. And lack of humility is what saw former erstwhile Lucifer ejected from heaven. I think that is God's take, and it's clear in the Bible.
Yeah. And when now we understand, you know, God's take in terms of, you know, in terms of racial injustice or racial justice, you know, how would that now influence our action against racial inequality? Because I'm thinking that now, you know, throughout this whole week, now that I understand, you know, where God's heart is, I won't stand by and look at other people. Because this day, I don't know about you guys, this day it's all about me, myself and my family. You know, we don't care about other people. In fact, if my son were to come back and say, this person of a different color, yo, I wouldn't even want him to finish the story, you know. Already I'm up in arms. But if it's other people, even when we're seeing it at the malls, you are seeing it on the roads, like, let us continue with what we're doing. But now that we understand, you know, God's heart, how is it going to help us in terms of our actions?
Well, I think verse 1 already gives the context. This to be a broad application, because at verse 1 we say you are to contend before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. So it's not something that we are just going to pray about, voiced out. In an earlier installment we did address this, to say the voicing out should not be taken literally as to audible voice. People need a legal voice. People need a financial or an economic voice. That's what they are. So we are not just being called out to speak, because the Bible says do justly. So, action. So if they need a voice in a legal space, how do we give them that voice? You pay for legal fees.
Okay.
They need a voice in an economic space. How that? You don't necessarily have to say, I'm going to go and possess whatever is in race and paste it on the other side. Two wrongs do not make a right. Do justly, what actions are then being called upon? You need to capacitate those who have been disadvantaged on racial grounds. So how that? You want to look at what educational system is there? How do we get that those who have not been advantaged to access the same conditions or similar situations, so that they rise and operate at the same level? Others we have been advantaged in the past. So that is affirmative action that we're talking about. The most typical thing to do, and the easiest, is take away from the one who has more and give to the one who has less. First place to start. But are we solving this thing looking into the future?
Yeah.
How far is it going to go? Is it sustainable? So even as a church, you want to say, who has been marginalized? What kind of systems are we putting in place for these people to come out? So, of entrepreneurialism. You're saying, okay, you're not being hired because you're of this race, but why don't we make you the hirer? Why do we come and plant resources in your space? So you don't have to even go there and look for employment.
Yes.
So that's capacitation. So when the Bible says, let your voice be heard as far as the hills. So it's your impact, basically. Land your voice as wide as it can go. Of course, the context here is about God talking with Israel and how Israel has been performing unjustly.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side, when you do well, that voice must be heard as far as the hills.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And you know, I'm loving how you speaking, you know, looking at the support that we ought to need, that we ought to give. And, you know, I think from the whole week, Vele, we are touching on scripture. You've mentioned today, you mentioned the book of Micah, you know, the prophet, the days, I think you mentioned, you know, the likes of your Jeremiahs and them. So now when we are sitting in church, whatever denomination you are attending, this one, I just want us to generalize it there. We are sitting either be it on a Sabbath or a Sunday. You know, there's a preacher speaking, we are taught about faith, we are taught about love, tithing, you know, we talk about salvation. These preachers that stand on the pulpits, my elder, how can they incorporate issues of justice or this racial injustice that we have been speaking about, the issues like how to stand up or anything like that? Is it even possible to incorporate it into their sermons, or we are just reaching, you know, let them just preach about faith, it ends there? Or is there is a way in which they can incorporate, you know, these issues into their sermons?
Oh, definitely. There is a lot of room as one is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll not advocate a scenario whereby we tell the church what we want to tell it.
Yes.
We must tell them what God wants us to tell them.
Mm.
When we go with the motive that says, you know what, today I'm going to give them my peace of mind, we begin to speak from our power.
Yes.
And that is very limited and usually not as objective.
Mm.
However, is there room for us to address issues of injustice in our liturgy? Yes, definitely. There is lots of room. But I will not advocate that issues of injustice be addressed from the
pulpit. Yeah.
Yes, not from the pulpit. Not from the pulpit. I wish it could be addressed from the pews to the alleys and end there.
Mm.
Why am I making this submission? The pulpit is often way communication.
Yes.
You stand up, you tell us, we don't ask you, we don't engage, mm-hmm. we don't respond. The best response we can give is an amen in most churches.
Mm.
But of injustice, racial issues, you don't want to present a one-sided argument, which cannot be changed. So the issue of reconciliation is about hearing both sides.
Mm.
So if we're talking about race issues and it is educative, so we're empowering the people. But the issue of reconciliation is in that you must hear both parties.
Mm.
So as you hear both parties, use platforms where those who are aggrieved can speak.
Mm.
Those who are perceived to be aggressors are not going to be bashed.
Mm.
Remember this, the church is a voluntary entity. Walk into church, and if I find that it's Elder MK who's preaching, I don't know what my car, I can always walk out to my car, drive off to the next place.
Yeah.
So we don't have a captured audience, but we can have a captive one.
Mm.
So people have, you know, many more ways of tuning off and tuning out. Even there, they can say, okay, I can sit this out for the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're done, fine. After all those decibels you blow in there, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So this is the challenge with taking issues to the pulpit and thinking we'll address them from there.
Mm.
These issues are complicated and they're historical, and the reconciliation exercise must lead to somehow reaching statement of the one who has lost out.
Mm.
That from the pulpit alone,
yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
Maybe use the subject well and good. Mm. To conscientize, fine. But if we want to have an impact, it cannot be a solo voice from the pulpit,
yes,
speaking. Mm. I don't wise to go,
yeah,
in that direction.
Yeah. As you're speaking about that, I remember there was another conversation somewhere where, mm-hmm, someone was like, you see, these afternoon services that we spend there speaking about, I won't even continue that sentence.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that, you know, as you're saying that, you know, those services that we, because sometimes in the afternoon services, they become a solo voice. You know, yep, maybe we could have them there, like discuss our experiences and share. And I've, correct, seen, for example, at our local church where we are all discussing, you know, the presenter, mm-hmm, or the speaker just speaks like for 5-10 minutes and then it's open to the floor. I've seen that there's more engagement. You know, people are willing to talk, sure, than when it's just one person talking, you know, alone. So maybe we could have these discussions about injustices during that time instead of the pulpit. I don't know.
True. And if I could also add something there,
mm-hmm,
when we talk in the presence of the aggressor,
mm-hmm,
we're still singing in unison.
Yes.
If we're going to have a discussion on this issue, then it must be a balanced one.
Mm.
Because you end up just whipping up emotions.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you've noticed there's some of those discussions where now we need someone to be on the other side of the table.
Mm.
And it becomes an argument. Really, someone just walks over to the other side and starts challenging and poking holes at the whole argument.
Yeah.
We are driving towards an academic debate.
Yeah, yeah.
The issue is about winning a soul. The issue is about making people in the communities realize.
Mm.
And so even in the communities, now you want to set up platforms for engagement.
Mm.
Set up those platforms for engagement so that people can then come through, having modeled it in the church. So if you're a church genius, it might be difficult for you to even say you're having a race discussion.
Yes.
It's education.
Yes.
It's done. Mm. But if you really want to see the experiences, how do we solve it? At some point, you'd also want to then say, how do we win the aggressor?
Mm.
Yes. We're not just arming you to go and fight.
Yes.
Go out there and fight them and shoot them all. That's not church. They are also in the image of God. Our objective is to win them from the,
yes,
hands of evil.
True. So as we're nearing the end, Mdalawami, there, how do we now advocate or encourage continued on long, you know, dialogues, and while those on racial issues, and while those are happening, you know, we also follow, for example, biblical principles in terms of addressing such issues as Christian. Because, for example, yeah, I'd love to use examples this week. So, for example, you know, the race issues, for example, that my parents went through. They are different from what my sisters went through. They're different from what I went through. Even the conversations, yeah, are different. When it comes to our children, those ones, we call them the woke children, right? We even call them Mama 2000 and everything else. The conversation when it comes to them, when it comes to race, it's totally different, you know. So bridging that gap in terms of our experiences and encouraging the conversations to go on and on and on. How do we do that? And also, how do we do it whilst following those biblical principles, you know, that we have been learning about?
All right, wonderful. The first thing we do is listen to Adventist World Radio SAD.
Mm-hmm.
First way to do it. I thought you were going to be chuffed.
Yeah.
I think it's, you are bringing in difficult topics.
Yeah.
And you're putting them on air, and as out there imbibing this content, there isn't so much of a defensive in your private space, and mm-hmm, you're hearing. So that's the first way to continue in this thinking. Thank you for such brilliant programming.
Thank you
so much. And then as we go into the church spaces, you also want to say, for a continued conversation,
mm-hmm.
from an organizational standpoint, you want to look at a broad representation mm-hmm. in terms of our demographic profile.
Mm-hmm.
Organization should not just be in membership only.
Yes.
It must be in leadership as well.
Yeah.
You remember the issue of the deacons in the book of Acts mm-hmm. and the Jews. This is how Stephen came in with representation
mm-hmm.
in the leadership. So when our organizations become representative, it makes it easier for people who feel left out
mm-hmm.
to belong. Mm-hmm. I move on to this individually. So if pastors, church workers, whether they're literally evangelists, and we are trying to come up with a racial distinction,
mm-hmm.
balanced racial, you make the outsiders feel like there is one of their own.
Mm.
They begin structure. You come to the members as individuals. How do we keep these narratives going on?
Mm.
You foster a spirit of tolerance down there. Because it's not that people do not know that it is wrong. They're just intolerant.
Mm.
And there is a lot of baggage that we have just buried. And we said, listen, we all love the Lord. Forget about what happened in the past.
Yeah.
We need the members. We need them to go down there and say, what hurts? Listen. Understand. And then work on reconciliation step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And church should not be a scenario where we are saying, because of what happened, pay reparations. That is not our space. As the Holy Spirit convicts the person, let them do well where they feel they need. Because right now, wealth distribution, besides it being a major component in race relations,
yeah.
you'll find that even if you were to redistribute wealth across races, we have a wealth imbalance within the race. How do you redistribute?
Ish.
So the issue is, it's not a racial imbalance that leads to wealth imbalance.
Mm. Yeah.
It is a standalone topic. How do we redistribute resources?
Mm.
And take away from those who have earned what they have earned.
Mm.
Capacitate those without the skills to earn the cover ground and recover ground. Is what I would say we'll need education at a personal level. When we are educated, then deal with our attitudes, help on tolerance levels. Nowadays, getting married to across races is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those spaces, teach our children. They may look different, but they are not different before the foot of the cross.
Yes.
So we are at the end of the day. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. I was saying earlier on, you know, when I was preempting our conversation, I'm like, I still need you to come back one day so we can speak about the financial racism, you know, that you mentioned that day. And I'm like,
I'm glad to come back.
I'm going to set aside time so we can look at that one. But it has been lovely. I think Derek was also texting saying, who is that? He's like, is that Elder Mkandla? I'm like, he's like, I love him so much, you know. So we always love listening to you. We always, you know.
He's a kind soul. He's a kind soul.
Yes.
Pass my regards to you.
Yeah, well, so we love it. And we loved speaking to you, Mdalawam. I'm going to ask that once again, please do, you know, offer a word of prayer as we close.
Oh, yes. Thank you, dear Lord, and the heavens above for the opportunity to talk and sharpen each other like steel on steel. Perchance, in our utterances, we have not represented you aright. And probably, we may have hurt each other. Dear Lord, it was not our intention. It was meant for good. We pray that hereafter, the Holy Spirit may take over the narrative. Speak to each and every one of us. And above all, bless the establishment that has made it possible for us to engage on some of these topical issues that could see us into heaven, or even result in us missing it by a total mile. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with us all, now and forevermore, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much. It's always a blessing. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Same to you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.